Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Greeting to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my joy to continue with you the study on revealing the truth about Islam in the light of revealing the truth about the Quran. In the previous program, we talked about the doctrine of abrogation. And we explained the doctrine of abrogation to be, as we read Ibn Kathir interpretation, he stated that it is the removal of a verse or the exchange of a verse with another verse, newer verse obviously, or to make something which was unlawful to be lawful or vice versa. That was interpretation of Ibn Kathir. We explained also that there are three different type of abrogation. The first one is the removal of the verse, that is, the verse is no longer exist in the Quran, and that Muslim no longer have to practice whatever the command or the teaching in such verses. So Allah gives some verses in the Quran, gives some command in the Quran, Allah changes his mind, don't worry about these verses, whatever was in it, you're not required to know it. And Allah is the one who causes people to forget these verses. The second type of abrogation exists in the Quran, that is when the verse exists in the Quran, but it is no longer practiced by Muslim. Why? Because Allah replaced this verse by a newer verse, and in the new verse there are different commands. We also covered that there are two problems with this second type of abrogation. First, that if the Quran is the word of Allah, it should never be changed. For Allah said in the Quran, none can change Allah's word. And the second problem we have is the contradiction. How can we believe the Quran is the word of Allah if Allah contradicts himself? But obviously we discovered that the reason the new verses was given, because Muhammad does not want the people to believe anymore in the early verses, the soft verses of Mecca. But now he became a militant man, a harsh man. And all what he wants is the people to go and fight, to go and kill, spread Islam by the sword. As we saw this very clear in the new verses of Medina, which abrogate all the soft verses of Mecca. We also covered that some of the verses Muhammad received in the Quran was not given to him by Allah, but it was given to him by Satan. And these are the verses which we call the satanic verses. And Allah removed these verses from the Quran through abrogation because it was not from him to start from first place. A good example of these verses is what we see in Quran chapter 53 verses 19 and 20. The Quran said, "Have you seen Al-Lat and Al-Uzza and another, the third one, Manat?" Then the following verses used to say, "These are the exalted whose intercession is to be hoped for." And today, if we open the Quran, we will not find these verses. But what we will find is, verse 19, "Have you seen Al-Lat and Al-Uzza?" Verse 20, and another, the third one, Manat? Verse 21, "Do you have the male and does he have the female?" Verse 22, "This is an unjust division." Verse 23, "There are just names that you and your fathers named them. Allah did not send it down with authority. They only follow the conjecture and what the soul desire. And indeed, the guidance come to them from their Lord." Why Allah put these new verses in the Quran? The change took place because the deception of Muhammad, the deception of Allah. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, in Muhammad days, there were three gods, Allat wal Uzza wal Mana. And these three gods used to be worshipped by the people whom Muhammad was afraid of, whom they were those people who were about to engage in war against Muhammad. But when Muhammad discovers that he will be wiped out by these people, he quickly come up with the idea to praise their gods, to speak very highly of their God. That's why Muhammad said, these are the exalted whose intercession is to be hoped for. And when the people heard Muhammad speaking very highly of their gods, Allati, wal Uzza, wal Mana, they felt so good about themselves and they said, well, we just add Muhammad God to our gods. And they pray, they bow down after Muhammad with these verses. They use these verses in their worship as part of their belief in Muhammad, in the religion of Muhammad. But later, when Muhammad became a strong militant man, he removes these verses from the Quran and he said, what? Oh, this was an accident. Oh, these verses was not from Allah. These verses was a mistake and it was satanic verses given to me by mistake. And then Muhammad put the new verses, which we do have today in the Quran. These gods are not God. These gods are just named. You have made up you and your fathers. Can the Quran be the word of God with such teachings, with such verses, where Satan have power over the Prophet of Allah, causing him to write verses from his own wording? Satan have power over the word of Allah, the Quran. Satan causes Muhammad to write praising the gods of this world, praising idols, Allati wal Azzati wal Mana. Three gods Muhammad was praising. Muhammad and those people who worship such gods have unity. They join hand and they worship together, bound down towards Mecca, praising the gods of Allati wal Uzza wal Mana. And then later, when Muhammad became a powerful man, a strong man, he quickly removes these verses from the Quran. What kind of word of God this is? My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, do you believe the Quran is the word of God? Even though Satan have power over Muhammad to write such verses in the Quran and then later to be removed? I believe we do have a problem with the Quran. Just depend on this one verse and so many verses in the Quran. If the Quran is the word of God and Allah in the Quran said none can change the word of Allah, there should not ever be any inconsistency in the Quran, and such teaching should never exist in the Quran. The third type of abrogation and the last is the written verse is gone, but Muslim still practice the command of such verses. The verses is gone, but Muslim still practice its command. Imagine with me, my dear brothers and sisters, imagine that I'm traveling and I come to your city and there is a train track in the middle of your city, and the city put a stop sign before you cross the train track, which is a very safety procedure, so people will drive their car. When they get near to the train track, they will stop, they look to the right, they look to the left, and if there's no train, they can cross the track. But imagine with me that this train track is no longer used by any trains, so the city choose to remove the stop sign. But imagine with me, my dear brothers and sisters, after the sign was removed, I am traveling all the way from my home state, Florida, in your state, and I just kept driving 25 miles an hour and I passed the train track and I did not stop simply because there is no stop sign there. And after I passed the track less than a quarter of a mile, there is a cop came and stopped me and red and blue light, and I stopped, and the cop said to me, well, give me your driver license and your registration. And I said, officer, did I do anything wrong? Why you stopped me? I was speeding. He said, nope, you were not speeding. I say, why you want to give me a ticket? And the cop will tell me, well, you forgot to stop. And I say, stop where? And he will tell me, you forgot to stop before the train track. And I say, why do I need to stop before the train track? And the cop will say, before we used to have a sign there that said stop. It sounds ridiculous, isn't it? It sounds like a joke. There was no reason for me to stop because there is no longer a sign there that says stop. How do I know I'm supposed to stop if the city removed the stop sign? The cop have no right to give me a ticket because simply there is no sign there said to stop. That is exactly how Muslims look at this third type of abrogation. Allah remove the verse from the Quran, but Muslim must practice these verses. And if you don't, you'll be punished for not doing. This is a very strange type of abrogation. Why Allah? What is the wisdom of Allah to remove the verses from the Quran and still want the Muslim people to practice it?
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
If God wants people to practice some of His command, He must leave these verses in the Quran. He must make sure that it still exists today, not removing the verses of the Quran, and He still want people to practice it. That make no sense at all. Khalif Umar, during his reigns, he said, Allah sent Muhammad and sent down the scripture to him. He meant here the verses of the Quran. Part of what he sent down was the passage of stoning the idolaters. We read it. Then Umar said, the apostle stoned and we stoned them after him. And then Umar continued, I fear that in a time to come, men will say that they find no mention of stoning in the Quran and then they will not stone. And the punishment of stoning the idolaters will be gone, meaning it will cease. People will not stone those who commit adultery. Umar was very concerned about the future of the nation of Islam, of may they skip the punishment of stoning those who commit adultery, simply because he knows that after the verses was removed from the Quran, maybe in the future people will not stone those who commit such a sin. In another word, in Muhammad days, there was verses in the Quran which teach to stone those who commit adultery. But then these verses has been removed from the Quran, and Umar was afraid that in the future, years to come, men will not stone those who commit adultery because the verse is removed from the Quran. He said very clearly that Muhammad stoned those who commit adultery, and Umar himself stone those who commit adultery, and even though the verse is no longer exist in the Quran. And if you ask, how did these verses was removed from the Quran? Aisha, the beloved wife of Prophet Muhammad, told us, when they were preparing the body of Muhammad to be buried after his death, a dajjin, a goat, a sheep, ate these verses, which was in a piece of paper put under her mattress. Can you imagine? How powerful is this dajjal to eat the verses of Allah from the Quran? And until today, my dear listeners, until today, Muslims in the Muslim country practice the ordinance of stoning those who commit adultery. You can go online today and you can watch video of it. Very barbaric way to kill their own daughters who commit adultery. But if you ask Muslims, why do you do that? There is not one verse in the Quran teach to kill those who commit adultery. No, they will tell you, even though the verse is removed, but we are commanded by Allah to kill those who commit adultery. And you can see it in many other places in the Quran, as we read before in chapter 5, verse 161. The Quran said, do not kill the soul which Allah forbid except for a just cause. The soul which Allah forbid is the Muslim soul. And the just cause is those who commit adultery or commit murder, killing another Muslim, or apostate, those who leave the religion of Islam and join some other religion. These are facts about the doctrine of abrogation, especially the third type of abrogation, where the verses is removed from the Quran, but Muslims are commanded by Allah to practice whatever was in the verses from teachings. Abi ibn Ka'b and Aisha, both of them said that Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33 in the Quran, used to be in the same length number of verses to that is which in chapter 2 in the Quran, the Book of Kaw. The Book of Kaw have 286 verses, and chapter 33 only have 73 verses. So what happened to all these missing verses? For if we open the Quran and look for chapter 33, we will find there is only 73 verses. From this one chapter alone, there are 127 verses are missing. I wonder how much information was written in these verses. These are the three type of abrogation. One more time quickly, I would like to share with you the first type of abrogation. Allah removes the verses from the Quran, and He did not require the Muslim to practice such teaching. So the verse is gone, and the command with the verse is gone with it. The second type of abrogation, where the verses still exist in the Quran, but Allah no longer requires Muslim to practice it, for He has given the Muslim the opposite teaching of such verses in the new verses of the Quran. Medini verses abrogate the Mecki verses. And the third type of abrogation, that is when Allah removes a verse from the Quran, but He still commands the Muslim to practice the teaching of such verses. What a strange concept of the Word of God. If the Quran is the Word of God, there should not be ever any type of abrogation. There should not be ever any changing of God's mind. But for the Quran says, none can change the word of Allah. And here we see that the Quran has been changed. The word of Allah has been changed, which is a great evidence, a great proof that the Quran is not the word of God. One of the common questions I always receive here in the West, how do we know if the verses is written in the Quran are Mecki or Medini? How do we know if the verses we're reading is abrogated or not? It's very simple. As you read my translation, you will see there's a table of contents we put in the front of our translation. And in it, you will read if the chapter is Mecki or Medini. So obviously, if the chapter was written in Mecca, that means it is early writing of Muhammad. That means some of the verses in it will be abrogated. But for the Medini chapter, Muhammad claimed to receive from Angel Jibreel, these are the verses which abrogate the early verses of Mecca. But don't forget, there are also Medini verses which has been abrogated by a late verses in Medina. So the problem here, the topic is a chaos. There is no way I can help you by letting you know, here is the verses and here is other verses. You have to read the entire Quran. But Al-Qurtubi, a great Muslim scholar, save us a lot of headache. In Quran chapter 2 verse 109, Allah said, many of the people of the book desire to turn you back to infidelity after you have believed. out of envy from themselves after the truth has been shown to them. So pardon and forgive them until Allah will come in with His commands. Surely Allah has might over all things. What a wonderful verse. Pardon and forgive. But it did not stop there. Because it said what? Until Allah will come in with His command. Al-Qurtubi interpretation to this verse. He said, هذه الآية منسوخة. He said, this verse is abrogated, and he gave us the verses which abrogated this verse. Chapter 9, verse 29, that is command to engage in war against the Jew and the Christian. Or chapter 9, verse 5, which is the verse of the sword, which clearly teach to kill all the polytheists wherever you find them. But then Al-Qurtubi gave us a very powerful statement. Very powerful statement. He said what? كل آية فيها طرق للقتال فهي مكية منسوخة بالقتال. That is what Abu Ubaidah said, as Al-Qurtubi tell us that. Any verse in the Quran does not have killing, does not have fighting, it is Makki, it is abrogated verse. In simple word, if the verse in the Quran does not have blood, does not have killing, it is no good. Muslim only practice the new verses which teach to go out and kill. Has the Bible been corrupted? Do Muslims accept the Bible as God's word? What does the Quran teach about the Bible? What do we mean by inspiration? Is our present daily Bible reliable and faithful to the original scriptures? Is the Bible the complete word of God? This is what we'll be covering in the following programs. And until we meet again, may God richly bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.